Well, good evening, Rock. How are we doing? Good to see so many of y'all show up this evening. There's some new faces. We're glad you're here. Hopefully you enjoy my shirt. It is not an ugly sweater, but it is just a beautiful shirt. Here, do you need me to model? Are we good? Everybody got it? Okay. So if you're new, we're so glad you come. My name's Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock Church. We love Jesus. I don't take myself too seriously. Obviously, 25 seconds in, you just figure that out. But we do take Jesus seriously, and we're happy that you're here. And our desire for you this evening is that you would leave forever changed. If you don't know Jesus, that you would leave a follower of Jesus, and he would be your Savior forever. So that's the end result, our hope for you. And if you did not already figure it out, it is Christmas time, and everybody said amen. 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 We love Christmas here at the Rock Church. We love Christmas because we love Jesus, right? So naturally, Christmas is, it's our thing. Like, it's ours. We own it with the Christmas carols and the stockings and the hot chocolate and the eggnog and the Christmas trees and the nativity scenes and the time with all of our friends and family and the Christmas parties and white elephant, and it just goes on. But, like, we as Christians, like, we own that. We do that better than anybody. Amen? Come on, you can do better than that. We do better than anybody than that, right? Nobody does better white elephant parties than Christians, amen? But all those things don't even hold a candle as to why we are so pumped when it comes to Christmas time. Christmas is a big deal to us because Christmas is about Jesus. And if it weren't for Jesus, then this time of year would be pointless. If Jesus had never come into the world, there would be no Christmas. There'd be nothing to celebrate, nothing to be remembered, nothing to be excited about. But Jesus did come, and our lives have been changed, and we are here to brag about this Jesus Christ for a little bit, okay? And Christmas is that time of year where we remember the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. But you see, there's this epidemic. Every year, we run into this issue that can so easily spoil the whole point of Christmas. And I like how E.B. White said it. He said, "To perceive Christmas through its wrapping becomes more difficult with every year." And that's true. It's a battle that we face every single year. The Christmas tree and the stocking set just right and the gifts and the bows and the presents and the wrapping paper and the gift receipts and the did I forget anybody and oh man, the mall's going to close in 30 minutes. We get so distracted. And some of you right now, you got distracted. You're like, E.B. White, isn't that the guy who wrote Charlotte's Web? Does little Mikey have that? Hold on, let me check on Amazon really quick. We can get that before Christmas. It's true. Something about Christmas makes it justifiable for us to spend ridiculous amounts of more money on others than was ever logical the rest of the year. It's like January from November, we're like, all right, we're on budget, we're going to stay reasonable, we're not going to get out of control, we're going to pay off debt, we're going to be realistic with our spending, and then December and Christmas shows up, and we just go, see you later, reality. See you later, budget. We'll start over again January 1. I mean, Christmas is 1 week away, and many of us are still stressing out about the final gifts to purchase for the loved ones. Right, raise of hands. Don't lie. You're Christians, don't lie. How many of you have finished Christmas shopping? Raise your hands. 1, 2, okay, maybe 5 or 6. Okay, you guys are awesome. But really, like, it's a week away, and so many of us are still stressing on what to get that perfect loved one. And we're thinking right now, what stores close early? What stores are going to be open tonight after church? I wonder how long this message is going to be. What time does Toys R Us close? We spend a lot of time and money and efforts on Christmas. I don't know if you knew this, but I'll give you some stats. The average adult in Utah will spend $781 on Christmas. That's per person. Like, that's average, right? The average adult in Utah, $781. And America is going to spend more than $600 billion will be spent on Christmas this year. This is an awesome one. $40 billion will be spent this year on your pets. I mean, I heard 7 out of 10 dogs are going to get a Christmas present this Christmas. Raise of hands, how many of you honestly didn't buy your dog? No judging, we're not going to judge it, but if you didn't get your animal a present for Christmas, go ahead and raise your hand. How dare you? You get out of here. This kid. Can you believe that? I know my little Maggie's getting something, but now here's a stat. Here's something that they're not going to tell you at the register. 1 out of 10 Christmas presents will break before New Year's. Within 1 week, that present's going to break. 40% is going to make it to March. And it says a little less than 25% of Christmas gifts will actually still be intact next Christmas. That means America this year will spend $450 billion on something that's not even going to last them 1 year. And I don't want to give away the whole message, but I'm going to tell you about a gift that's free and it will last an eternity. And there's no debating it. Christmas, for all of us, can so easily become a season of commerce, the season of buying and spending and getting the right gift, the right thing for that right person. And that's great. That's fine. That's awesome. And some of you may be saying, no way, Jose. Jesus is the reason for the season. And to you I say, my name isn't Jose. It's Brian. But, okay, so maybe Christmas shopping hasn't stolen some of your affections away this year, but let's go and look at your social media. Let's go and see what everybody's been talking about this week. I know something that will get everybody else. And I have two words that will prove my point. Star Wars. We are all aware Star Wars came out less than 24 hours ago. The anticipation, the build-up for this moment, we've cleared everything off of our schedules. Honestly, I'm shocked this many people actually came to church tonight. We've all got the do not disturb signs hanging from our foreheads in anticipation for this movie, and we've gone black. That's a thing. We've gone black from social media so we don't have any spoiler alerts. By raise of hands, who in the past week has seen a post or read a tweet or even you yourself has posted something about Star Wars this week? Be honest. Raise your hands. Okay. The rest of you are lying. You know you did. But honestly, I've seen more people check into movie theaters on Facebook in the last 24 hours by honest Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians than I've seen them post about their faith, checking in at church, or inviting a friend or loved one to church in the last year. It's like you would think Kylo Ren is the reason for the season, or BB-8, or C-3PO's got a red arm now. I mean, Star Wars is great. Be excited about it. It's the toy. I've seen a C-3PO has a red arm in one of the toys. Wesley is confused too. But Star Wars, be excited about it. It's fun. Christmas shopping is great. Be excited about it. Enjoy those with your friends and your family. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But if we are honest, there are those things that we just get so distracted around the holiday season. So many things that win over our affections this time of year. And my hope tonight is that I will do a good job of reminding us why we celebrate Christmas. And I have 3 points, so you can follow along in your handouts if you like. You can fill in the blanks. That'll help you stay awake. But I got 3 points, and then I'm going to get out of your way this evening. So let's pray, and we'll get rolling. Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you for the worship. Thank you that we could sing to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the reason for the season. As cheesy as that sounds or as goofy as that might look on a T-shirt, that's the truth. We rest in that. That's our hope, Jesus. And we thank you that we could sing songs proclaiming that truth. And we can thank you that that's our truth. That's our reality, that our Savior has come into the world. And Jesus Christ, I just pray that I just hope in my desire tonight is that we would all leave here just changed, that we wouldn't neglect the weightiness of what Christmas is. So Father, we just ask that you would bless this time. Give me grace to speak. And we just ask that you would just do a wonderful thing this evening, Jesus Christ. It's your name we pray. Amen. All right, so point number one, the purpose of Christmas. We just sang it, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The short and simple answer is just the song y'all just sang 5 minutes ago. The purpose of Christmas is that the Lord has come into the world to save his people. You see, that's the whole point, that in history, 2,015 years ago, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, fact, real life, 2,015 years ago, God invaded our world to rescue us, to redeem us, to save his people. That was God's plan from the beginning, and he accomplished it perfectly. The long-awaited promised Messiah who was to come into the world had finally come into the world. Every time you look at your cat calendar at your office, at your work, or you pull up the calendar on your iPhone, there's a year that stares at you that you're currently living in, right? And it says 2015 AD. Think about that. Everything in your life that you are scheduling, organizing, planning, every event in your life revolves around this one moment in history where Jesus came into the world and changed everything. Something happened in this little town called Bethlehem that split the whole calendar system in two. Some of you guys know B.C., A.D., before Christ, and Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. Isn't that just so interesting that the birth of Jesus is that dividing point in world history? Whether you believe in him or not, your whole life revolves around him. Every date in your life attests to this fact that this event took place. I was born on January 7th, 1,984 years after the birth of the Savior. John Stockton sent the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals on May 19th, 1,997 years after Jesus was born. You see, Jesus coming into the world changed everything. And I want to show you, it was something that was long anticipated. In the Old Testament, there was a promise from God, a promise that all God's people were anticipating, that they were longing for, waiting for the day when the Savior would come into the world and rescue them. And the promise goes back as early as Genesis 3, we see it. And it's a promise from God was the one that he would one day intervene and he would save and he would protect and he would redeem his people. There was going to be a time where God would do that. And Christmas is that promise coming to life. And we get a good glimpse of that promise when we see what was going on when we look in the book of Isaiah. I have the verses on the screen. If you're old school, you can find them in your Bible. But in Isaiah chapter 7, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself, God himself, is going to give us a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's a big ticket item. That's a big word. We're going to explain that. In Isaiah 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." There's that gift. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So this baby who's coming to the world, this is our promise, the Bible tells us. And it's clear. The Lord himself says, "I'm going to give you a sign." Everything was about to change forever. There's this baby that will be born of a virgin who's going to have a whole bunch of responsibility. I mean, everybody's going to be anticipating this baby. He's going to be a really, really big deal. And what's so fascinating about these verses, if you don't know the Bible very well, is that these verses were written 700 years before Jesus Christ was ever born. That alone right there is just remarkable. This was no coincidence. Somebody didn't just come up with this clever idea once Jesus showed up and claimed and did all these things that he did. No, this was a perfect plan drawn up by a perfect God from before time even began. Then 700 years later, after Isaiah wrote these things about the Messiah, an angel appears to Joseph, and he tells him about this same promise. He tells Joseph, he says, "Hey man, your wife-to-be, she's going to be the earthly mother of the Messiah. And the whole world has been waiting for him. And this baby is the one," as it says in Matthew 1:23, it says, "this baby is, his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In Matthew 21, the angel said again, he says, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And what's so amazing about this name, this title for Jesus, Emmanuel, is that it means God with us. There's that promise again that God is going to be with us. God would make his dwelling with us. And this baby that's going to be born of a virgin, he's going to be this Emmanuel. He literally is God. And he's come to be with us. And there's more. I want you to think about this too. Usually this verse doesn't get shared at Christmas time. But the Apostle John, he wrote these verses next, and he knew this baby when he was all grown up, okay? This Jesus was John's best friend. They were, like, closer than anybody, and they rolled with each other. They did ministry for 3 years. John wrote a whole bunch of books about Jesus. But listen to what John says about his account about this man, this God-man Jesus, this baby. Listen to how he describes this baby we're celebrating today. John calls this baby the Word, okay? So he knows his name's Jesus, but this baby that was born, his name is Emmanuel, and John calls him the Word. So when you see this word, Word, I want you to think that John's talking about his friend Jesus. And he says, "In the beginning was the Word." So he says, Jesus was the Word, right? And the Word, and this Jesus was with God, and this Jesus was God. And this Jesus created all things. And then in verse 14, it says that this word, this baby that came into the world, this Emmanuel, this Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that. Is that what comes to mind when we say Christmas? Because it should. The Apostle Paul, he concurs. He says the exact same thing. He tells us that the second person of the Trinity, this God who has eternally existed, who has created all things, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything you can see, everything that you cannot see, this God who was fully, he was perfectly, the fullness of God was perfectly pleased to dwell in this Jesus. He became a baby. So on Christmas, we do more than remember and reflect and meditate on the story of an innocent baby being born. We need to fix our eyes and hearts on the amazing truth that God became man. God made his dwelling among us. Christmas is about deity, the God of all creation, the making of heaven and earth, coming to save his people. Spurgeon said this, and I think it's beautiful. It says, infinite and an infant, eternal yet born of a woman. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. Such a wonderful quote. Christmas is that time of year where we celebrate the day that God entered the world and put on human flesh. The infinite and eternal God became an infant born of a woman. That truly is the wonder of Christmas. So point number one, the purpose of Christmas, Jesus Christ, the Lord, has come into the world to save his people. And he did that perfectly. Point number two is I want to talk about the significance of Christmas. What makes Christmas, what makes Christianity so significant from everything else? Because Christmas and Christianity is worthy of all of our attention, whether you're a believer or not. It's worthy of all of your attention. It's worth considering and thinking about. Because this is where Christianity is unlike anything else, any other faith, any other religion. Christianity stands alone in this. And then one simple answer, this one simple word to answer this is, it's grace, right? No other faith systems, no other religions or philosophies have it. They give you a list of stuff. They say, you know, we got to do certain things. You got to do this, these sorts of things, and then the requirements have been met, and then now God can love you. And there are all these, you know, these faith systems of works. And there are certain rules and practices and dress codes, dietary restrictions sometimes, mandatory observances that all play a part in the eternal outcome. And there's nothing significant about that. They all have that in common. They all agree. They all have a list of stuff that you must do to find favor with that God or deity or spirituality or nirvana, whatever it is. There's nothing significant about it. You can look it up yourself. Every other religion, every other faith has this same thing in common, that we must do these things in order to earn the inheritance, the whatever the lollipop that religion or faith has to offer. But Christianity is significant in this way, and it's grace. And Christmas is our case and our point. Christmas is the proof in the pudding. It isn't about us doing something. Christmas isn't about us doing things for other people, even necessarily. Christmas is about something that God did for us. God in Jesus Christ did something, and he gave us something that we could never do or accomplish ourselves. You see, Christianity isn't about how good we can become or how good we need to be. It's not about the gifts that we can bring. It's not about the works that we can do to prove our goodness. No, Christianity is like we sing with the little drummer boy when he humbly sings. He says, I have no gift to bring that's fit for this king. You see, Christianity is significant in this way. It doesn't mean that we must work to prove or show or offer anything for this Jesus to love us. Christianity stands alone because it's about what God has done to show us his love for us. Many of you guys know this verse in Romans 5, but it says, God shows or God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, for those who believe, Christmas is significant because it means God willingly stepped down to earth to save us while we were still sinners, it says, right? Like while we were still in all of our mess and all of our sin and our angry at our worst, at our most vile and ugly and hateful and addicted and depressed and unlovable, while we were still in all of that mess, Christ willingly came into our world to live a perfect life for us and to die for us. We didn't deserve that. He chose to do such an amazing thing for us. In Mark chapter 10, the same thing. Jesus says himself, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's what makes Christianity so amazing. Jesus doesn't come into this world and demand all of your gifts and all of your works and all of your efforts. He gives us the best gift. He gives us his work and he gives us his effort to perfectly accomplish exactly what he came to do, to offer up his life as a ransom for many. That's Christmas. Christmas is significant. Religion says you've got to do certain things. You've got to do a bunch of stuff in order to get favor from God. And Christianity is we get God because of his favor towards you. Two very different things. And Christmas is about celebrating presents, but it's about celebrating the best present ever. His name is Jesus. And he can be yours tonight. Which brings me to our last point. Point number 3, you were made to know God. Charles Wesley's hymn, Hark the Herald, we sang it. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. You were made to know God. Christmas is about celebrating the fact that you can know the God of the heavens and the earth. And this God made himself known to us 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. God came to us to reconcile us to him, to fix the problem between God and man. The separation between us, now because of Jesus Christ, has been restored. God did not have to make himself known to us. He was not bound to anybody's rules. He didn't lose a bet and have to love a bunch of unlovable people. God did not have to make a promise to save his people. God was not forced to act in love and fulfill his promises towards us. God got the short end of the deal when you start to look at the kind of people he saved, right? Amen? We aren't promise keepers. We're not perfect. We're sinners. But God's a promise keeper. God's perfect, and he's our Savior. I'm gonna need your participation real quick, so just calm down, you're okay, don't worry. But if you've ever been hurt by another person, I just want you to stand up. If anybody's ever hurt you before, just stand up. If somebody's ever offended you or sinned against you, stand up. If somebody's ever lied to you, offended you, told lies about you, insulted you, made fun of you, talked badly about you to others, just stand up. I want you to look around the room for just a second. It's everybody, right? Everybody in this room has been hurt by another person. We all share in that. We've all been sinned against, right? Now let me ask you this. Have you ever hurt another person? Stay standing. Have you ever sinned against another person? Stay standing. Have you ever lied to somebody? Told lies about others, to others, insulted others, made fun of another person, talked badly, bullied, gossiped? Stay standing. I'm guilty too, right? Look around the room again. Notice everybody's still standing. It's everybody again. We all share in that. Not only have we all sinned against another, or not only have we all been sinned by one another, but we've also guilty of sinning against other people as well, right? It's not the best amen shouting moment, right? But y'all can sit down. Thank you. But we've all offended, right? We've all hurt. We've humiliated, sinned against one another. We've all been offended, sinned against by others. But there's more, because every sin we've ever committed is a sin against a holy God. Every sin you've ever committed against anybody in this room or anybody in your family is a sin against Jesus Christ as well. God has written his law on our hearts, and we know right from wrong. We do. Just take a look, quick look at the Ten Commandments, right? And we see very clearly how we have so easily and willingly disobeyed and fallen short of God's standard. Just think about the actions, the things that we do, right? That's guilty. The thoughts, our thought life. Jesus says he knows our thoughts. If he's God, that's a big deal, right? Big problem. And our words, obviously the things that we say towards people. We sin against others daily. And we sin against God daily. We have all sinned against one another, and we have all sinned against this holy, amazing, great God. But I want you to think about this. This amazing God who loves us, this great God, this Jesus Christ who became a man 2,015 years ago to save us, he has never sinned against you. He has never lied about you. He's never told a lie about you. He's never gossiped about you. He's never insulted you. He's never hurt you. He's never broken a promise to you. Jesus being God, listen, he knows every single thing about you. And Jesus still willingly came into this world to show you, to display, to demonstrate this perfect love towards you. Because you were valuable to him. You were made to know God. And Jesus could have perfectly just stayed away from us. That's my man Martin Luther. This is Beats. But Jesus could have perfectly stayed away from every one of us, okay? It had been totally justified to stay away from us. Left us out to dry, leave us to die in our sin, hopeless and abandoned. And he could have made the road to heaven a long and hard road. The road that could have demanded an impossible life of doing religion and working your way to paying him back and becoming good enough to one day get that reward. But instead, no, instead we got Christmas. God chose to lavish his grace on us instead. This is my last point again. You were made to know God. God became a man for your good. When God became a man in Jesus Christ, he didn't come as one who was unapproachable and unknowable, one who you and I could never, ever imagine drawing close to. Jesus was not an unapproachable rock star, okay, whose access was only limited to the most elite, religious, beautiful, and wealthy. That's not Jesus. But when we read the Gospels and the New Testament, it's remarkable when we see the type of people that Jesus is pouring his life into. Jesus comes to the sinners, it says, and to the broken, and to the sick, and the lame, and the dying, and the children, and the widows. And he says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. I came for these people. God comes into the world and he says, these people are valuable to me. And 2,000 years later, nothing about Jesus Christ has changed. His character or his love for us hasn't changed at all. Jesus today says to the broken and to the sick and to the addicted and to the adulterer and to the thief and to the drunk, he says, you're valuable to me. He says to the single mother and to the insecure and the lonely and the physically broken and the mentally challenged and the deadbeat dads and the depressed and the anxious and then to the suicidal, he says, you're valuable to me. And Jesus says to the intellectual or to the religious and to the irreligious or to the loner or the skeptic or the ignorant or the hard-hearted, the unloving, unlovable, most proud and most broken, to you, Jesus Christ says, you're valuable to me. You were made to know God. Do you know him tonight? That is what we celebrate on Christmas when we look at this innocent baby born in a manger. We remember that deity came to us to save us. And Christmas is that time of year where we remember and we reflect on that truth that we were made to know God, to enjoy him, because we're valuable to him. Don't spend another year being let down by whatever gift you're going to receive this year. Chances are, statistically, it's going to break within the next 12 months. Instead of another year of wishing, hoping for something that won't mean anything to you by springtime, how about you, for the first time, consider the gift that lasts an eternity and saves your soul? His name is Jesus. Throughout history, God has this track record of giving people things that they don't deserve. It's called grace. You see, despite all of our sins, our shortcomings, our falling short of God's perfect standard, he still sees you as valuable. You matter to him. You can turn to Jesus. You can give your life to Jesus. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and to those who recognize that they need a Savior, who turn away from a life of running away from him and turn to him, what they get is the most amazing gift in the world. They get eternal life. They get reconciliation with the Holy God. They get forgiveness of sins. And if you are a guest tonight and you do not know Jesus, we are here tonight because all we want for Christmas is for you to leave tonight knowing him. God calls you to turn to him, to turn from sin and to trust in his son. Do you understand that God loves you? You can respond. You can give your life to Jesus. Do you understand that you've been hurt, ashamed, and sinned against? You can give all of your shame to Jesus. Do you realize, do you understand that you have hurt, ashamed, and sinned against others? You can give your sins to Jesus. Do you understand that you have sinned against this Jesus Christ? Cry out to him to forgive you. Do you understand that this God became a man to save you? Run to him tonight. Do you know him? I love this quote by Augustine. It says, "Awake, mankind, for your sake God has become man. Awake, you who sleep, rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake, God became man." Amen. For your sake, friend, God became a man and gave you your Savior. Every one of us long for a Savior of some kind. Someone or something that will solve all of our problems, take away all of the pain and the sorrow, give us the most pleasure and happiness. And 2,000 years ago, God showed up and he said, "Here, this child was born and he's for you." It's the most amazing gift of all time, because in this gift, you get me. That's what he says, right? He said, you get God. Become a Christian. So as we close, Jesus changed everything. That's history. Christmas is the true story that happened 2,015 years ago. It's our story. It's our history. Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the king of heaven, left heaven to this lowly place called earth to be born in a manger, to then grow up and be nailed to a cross, and to die for those who he came to save, and to be laid into a tomb. But it doesn't end there, because 3 days later, Christ rose victoriously from the grave. He conquered sin and death and the devil and hell, and he ascended to heaven. And the story continues because Jesus Christ is coming back again. And God has promised us that. That's his promise. And if we know anything about God, we know that he's done an excellent job at keeping his promises. Become a Christian today, okay? You should really, really do that. And for those of you who are Christian, may you truly have a Merry Christmas as we celebrate Jesus Christ for how good he has been to us. And may you share this good news of the birth of your Savior with whoever crosses your path. Like we've all sang before, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you that you became man. We thank you that you loved us, that you left heaven to save us. Jesus, thank you that that was your plan, that was your idea. All we can do is just respond, and we praise you for that, Jesus. We love you. You've been so good to us. Thank you for the reminder of Christmas, that you really are the reason for the season. And Jesus, help us to meditate and reflect not on just you being this little sweet baby, which I am assuming you were so cute and so sweet, but that we would remember and reflect that, God, you became man to save us. You became man to save ruined sinners, that you would take sin upon yourself. You would take the payment. You would be crushed in our place to save sinful people. God, that you would do that is mind-blowing. That is too good to be true, but it is true. We thank you for that, Jesus. We could never do enough. There is no gift that we could bring good enough to show you that we love you, express what you did. Be like, God, look, thank you for what you did. Can I pay you back? There is nothing. There is no gift we could bring you good enough. But that you did that freely for us, Jesus Christ, we thank you. And we respond by giving our lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, that we are yours and we are known by you. Jesus Christ, I pray for my friends in this room who do not have a relationship, who do not walk in your truth, who do not love you, who do not desire you, who do not cherish you. Jesus Christ, I pray that you would do an amazing thing in their heart and that you would change it. Jesus, you would do the miraculous of giving them a new heart with new affections to love you. Jesus Christ, will you do that for the first time in their life? Save them, Jesus Christ. You're their only hope. God, you became a man to save them. That's the whole point of Christmas. Jesus Christ, we pray they would not leave this room without talking to any one of us. If they would like to know more about how to have a right standing with you and to enjoy the best Christmas present ever, Jesus, we ask that you would bring them to our attention. Come talk to us this evening. The rest of us, Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much. We want to go tell it on the mountain and tell it everywhere that Jesus Christ was born. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good night. Merry Christmas. No church next week.